You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. And now, Side B.
All right. I think we should just go track by track. I think that's the best way to talk about this.
You go right ahead. I'd like, bruh, nah. But okay.
Let's do it real quick.
All right.
So, opens with Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
And right up top, you get a reoccurring like theme throughout this album musically, which is what I would call not just up-tempo, but I'm not going to use the right technical term because I'm actually the great secret of my production. I'm very limited musically. It is what I would call very bright, almost like optimistic chords, right? You hear this on Black Spider-Man. There's a couple other records on here. And so he's up in the BPMs. And it's interesting because like I'm hearing this and I'm like, oh, okay. Maybe he's going to try to like do this whole different thing. But then he runs into this, like this song is such a distillation of Logic and Inertia. Like he runs into the same problem that he runs into all over this album.
Yeah.
Which is that he needs, you know what this album needs? This album needed Rick Rubin. This album needed somebody to listen to these songs. Like no, but to listen to these songs and say, no, you got to take that out. Because the trademark of Logic and Six's production to me when I hear this is like, there's way too much going on all the time. Oh, and by the way, he's going to rap really fast. So you're like, there's no, it's just, and it's not, you know, no disrespect to the dude who mixed this, but like, I think you'd have like, even if Ali on TDE mixed this, like, I just don't know if you could get everything to cut through with the clarity. There's just so much going on. There's some guitars and there's this. And it's like, whoa. More is not better. Like, there are parts of a lot of these songs, and Hallelujah is a good example, where like the beginning, I'm like, okay, we're trying something. I get it. And then it's just like more and more and more. And he's rapping fast and he cuts the tempo in half and da 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 da. And, you know, so much going on. Too much. And then the end of the song, you get, oh yeah, it's a concept album. So you get Neil deGrasse Tyson as God. Oh, did you like Hallelujah?
I know you wanted me to jump in, but just much of my feelings on this album are encompassed in Hallelujah. Mm. I mean, for one, whatever. Don't even give me started. Okay. I just thought like four ideas came to mind.
Let's do it.
I had to talk myself down talking about all of them. I agree with you about the production. What's funny is that one of the producers that I'm working with on the album, we talked about the sound that we were going for. This is kind of one of the sounds I wanted to explore. It was like an early 90s house trap style.
There's a record on here that really gets it almost perfect. And then they put too much stuff on it.
Your problem is too much stuff. My problem is that the drums on this album are really, really weak.
Yeah, the drums aren't good enough either. But
the melodies that he picks are, for the most part, pretty good. That's a consistent thing with the album. And then the drums kick in and it's just like they overthought the production. You can tell that Logic is very analytical. It's probably why his name is Logic. There's very little feel in his music. He tried to think what feeling is. Mm. And you can't do that. You have to let certain things just be. And I think you and I learned that working on Kairos. Where
stop it.
We over No. It's cool.
A trigger word. No, just kidding.
We overthought everything.
We did. Oh my God.
But working on this album and even working on some of the records that we've done after that, like Morning Run, like we didn't overthink it. It was like, this sounds good. Add this. Let's go.
Yeah. And then when I did a pseudo RZA-ish ending, you're like, nah, whatever. I don't care.
I don't care. Like it has to go because it's like, okay, this is what Doc is feeling at the time. Let's just go with it. I see what he was trying to do. Whether I like it or not, the more important thing is that it captured the feeling and what he thought was important to this song. Sometimes you got to argue those things down. Sometimes you just got to let them go. You just have to trust who you're working with and you have to trust the feel. I often talk about emotions and feelings and just in the concept of life, how feelings don't know your future. And you have to be very picky with how you treat your feelings, because sometimes they need to be explored and sometimes they need to be ignored.
That wasn't supposed to rhyme like that. But when it comes to music, almost always feeling is good. It's why people love Pac, because Pac may not have been able to do many things. Yeah, he couldn't really rap. Yeah, his production was so-so. Yeah, this, that, and the third. He rapped about the same things. But you can feel Tupac's music, and that will always come up in an argument about him, and it will always hold weight and relevance when you're discussing him and his legacy. And it's why 20 years later, you have grown men crying on Instagram Live about him because of what he did and the feeling that still lingers in hip hop because of what he did in the legend. And we can get into all that. But I think, did we do a Tupac retro?
We did a Death Row retro.
Okay, we didn't do a Tupac one. Okay.
I mean, we could do a definitive 15 on Tupac.
I'm dead. I could do that right now. That's super easy.
We're going to need a guest though.
We'll get a guest. Okay. I'm cool with that.
Okay.
But yeah, like, so with Logic, with Hallelujah, it's like, oh my God, white people rapping really fast. And I mean, and then even just the, you go from the Hallelujah, Praise God, and you immediately go to Blunt in My Mouth, yada, yada, yada. Like, it's not even offensive. It's just cringy. And that's what I'm hoping, Doc, tell me that there is supposed to be a theme.
There is.
With these songs.
There is.
Okay. Because when I'm listening to this, it's really, really cringy. And there's some songs in particular that are incredibly cringy, not just from a blasphemous perspective, but just, oh my God, there's one song in particular that, like, it's up there with I Can. It might be worse than I Can.
So, well, yeah. All right. So,
And this also, here's the thing. This is how I feel about every song on the album.
Yeah.
It's this. This is why I didn't want to do track by track, because it's a pretty good chords, a pretty good melody, drums, and then I gotta go with it, and I gotta get it, and I gotta do it, and then the butter, lots of butter on this album. A lot of butter on this album. Like, the idea of Logic says I can rap, because we haven't even talked about, you know, we talked about on previous episodes when we reviewed this stuff, poor man's J. Cole, poor man's Kendrick. I don't even want to have that discussion anymore.
I hear Lupe in him.
I mean, but Lupe is the father of J. Cole and Kendrick. J. Cole and Kendrick do not exist without Lupe Fiasco.
Hmm.
That's one of the reasons, and Mos Def. If Mos Def and don't exist, those two artists don't even do half of the things that they do. It's why they are my biggest headache, just as a fan, because they should have done what Kendrick and Cole are doing now, but they didn't. But it's almost like maybe they couldn't, because they were supposed to be the ones to kick the door down. Just because you kick the door down doesn't mean that you walk through the door.
Mm.
You might kick it down and then leave, or you might kick it down. You might be scared to walk through, and then somebody else walks in behind you and they reap the benefits of you kicking down the door. So I don't know.
So the concept behind the album, did you listen to Waiting Room, the whole skit, the 4-minute skit? Okay. So
I got about 2.5-3 minutes in. Like, I cussed a couple times. Like, yeah. What? Like, what?
Right. I mean, so the concept of the album is.
Please tell me.
Right. Basically,
who needs the weed, man?
So the guy who God is talking to is about to be reincarnated, but that's because he's every human being who's ever lived. And so the different, supposedly, I think this is right, the different songs in this album are supposed to be all these different perspectives of people who have lived. Yeah, I know. It gets a little, who needs the weed,
woo,
man?
Woo, boy!
So, right.
Sheesh.
Right, which is
boy, I don't even, that wasn't even weed. Sweet Father
so,
in Heaven.
Right. There, so track two on here, I'm not gonna go too much in depth on, because I don't think it's a really good song. But what I wanted to point out, somebody tweeted at us, and I apologize for not remembering who it was, said, you know, if we were gonna talk about how you know, Logic's what they called, like, I think a complicated relationship with him being biracial, because he felt like he didn't talk about it. And I'm like, he talks about it everywhere on this album.
He talks about it all the time.
And I mean, what is it? It's the last, wait, what song is it where it's like the last, whatever, like 5 minutes is just him talking about, Take It Back, which we'll get to in a second. Like, he talks to me, he talks a lot about it, and I get it. Like, you know, it's defines who he is in many respects, right?
Sure.
And so sure. He's got a chip on his shoulder because of it, clearly.
Sure.
But, and so that's a major theme of this album, which is why the album was originally going to be called, I don't even know how am I supposed to pronounce this, Africarian?
Oh, the Africarian?
Africarian.
That was what the album was going to be called?
That was the original title for the album.
Bruh. When I saw the song title, I started laughing. If you named your whole album that.
So everybody's not really anything special to me. Confess with Killer Mike, that's the record that almost gets the 90s house music chords perfect.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, okay, doing a little upbeat dance music, doing this, doing that. But then he puts so much stuff on top of it. And then he doesn't even get the Killer Mike verse. He gets Killer Mike on an outro. But Confess is cool. I don't mind Confess.
It's those drums, man.
Yeah, the drums aren't really. And look, I say this as somebody who stresses over drums. That is the single most stressful aspect of me producing. I will abandon entire song concepts because I can't get the drums right. I have hundreds of unfinished beats where I'm like, nah, I couldn't get the drums right.
They're the worst. Like, Doc was just playing me stuff when he came to Ohio, and I was like, well, what's this? And you're like, oh man, I could. You didn't finish the sentence. You're like, I mean,
I mean, what I played for you when we sat down.
Right.
Right. I'm like, okay, right. Like, sure. I got the whole main part. Now I'm like, okay, what do I do with the drums now? So I get it. It's not easy, but doesn't mean, if anything, that means I feel like I know, believe me, I can tell. And the drums here, not what I want. This record, Killing Spree. Yes, that's featuring Ansel Elgort, the actor, who apparently is Logic's friend. But, you know, so the song is talking about how people glorify and flex on social media, and he's sort of making fun of that. And I'm like, okay, like, I get it. I just wish the song was better. And this is something I want to ask you about, because we've talked about this before, and it really pops up on this Logic album, especially in a couple places later on, but we might as well talk about it now. So we have talked about on the show how, like, especially the past, like, year or 2 years, it feels like there's this whole section of hip-hop that's just been, like, drugged out.
Mm-hmm.
And how we're like, you know, yeah, the beat's dope and the hook's catchy, but I don't want to hear them rap about, like, could we not talk about getting high for like 5 seconds?
Sure.
And here I am listening to Logic's album. We've got good messages all over the place. And now I'm like, but couldn't the song be better? Am I asking too much?
No.
Okay.
No, and I'm going to tell you why. Because that is the other side of idea versus execution. Because, yeah, we want some... We want some positivity. We want some, you know, an antithesis or a response or an alternative to the drug raps. But I mean, March Madness is a dope record. So, you know, people love Mask Off. Am I supposed to be like, all right, guys, I know you like Mask Off and I know you like The Weeknd, but I want you guys to hear Logic and Killing Spree and then play this record. Everybody did it. People are going to be like, no, it's great. I think that's one of the ways, that's the difference between that and then a record like All Right. Even though All Right is an extremely depressing song outside of the hook of what Kendrick was talking about. People love that song because it's encouraging, but it's also dope.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So I can play All Right. If I'm the Utah Jazz and I just got swept 4-0, you know, I'm sure the DJ played all right while they were walking off the court. You know what I'm saying? Like, people, it'll make people feel a little better, but they're like, all right, guys, you just swept. Gordon Hayward's probably leaving. And everybody, and I got to get it. No.
Here's the thing. See, you're even going like up and down to try to give that some rhythm. Logic raps at the same level the whole time.
You think so?
Yeah, I do.
I think he inflects.
He inflects a little bit, right? It's not totally flat, but ironically, he inflects way more when he sings. He is so much more melodic when he's singing.
Yeah.
And flow is not, a dope flow doesn't just mean you rap fast.
No.
All right? I'm sick of it. I make the mistake of looking at the comments on Genius, which I swear to God, I don't know what these people are. Listen, it's not just rapping fast or cramming multis into a verse. Like, that does not mean it's a dope flow.
Yeah.
You have to do something else. Switch it up. Do a little thing. Go out of pocket. Bring it back. Do something. And the thing is, like, I think you hit the nail on the head earlier with this concept of like feel versus like, you know, doing it sort of trying to like outthink it. Like sometimes you just know something is dope in hip hop. Not like this isn't like basketball where we might have like a, there's no advanced analytics for hip hop.
Right.
Right. Sometimes it really is just feel.
Yep. Yep.
But yeah, this Killing Spree record's no good. take it back. Look, this is like 6.5 minutes and most of it is him sort of talking about, really going in depth about his biracial background.
He's got a lot of long songs on this album.
There are the Anxiety record, the opening, the outro is 12 minutes. We'll talk about that when we get there.
There's a 4-minute skit that doesn't end the album. Like, wait, I have to hear you talk for 4 minutes and then there's more music after this?
But he's got to explain the concept. It's the Kendrick problem.
It is the Kendrick problem. Yeah, Tupac at the end of his album.
Let's talk about America.
I'm sorry. Okay, I'm back. Yeah, so America. Am I the only one tired of songs about America and how effed up America is? Though it's good to hear a rapper. I respect any time a rapper gets another rapper that is clearly better than them on a song and just takes the L. And Black Thought doesn't even like wash the song either.
No,
like his verse is cool, but it's not like, yo.
Right.
He bodied that. But just the concept of getting Black Thought on your record. I believe Black Thought is the most overrated, underrated rapper ever, but I do think that he's insanely talented.
Him over this beat really gave me flashbacks to Thought at Work.
Sure. You love that record too.
It's a dope record. And you know, I should be inclined to like this song. But again, I don't think they could have more layers going on during the chorus. Like there is so much going on. And yeah, you sort of talk yourself into like, oh, but you know, Public Enemy had all, yeah, but it sounded dope.
Yeah, this was a really bad attempt at a Bomb Squad production.
I like the beat when they strip it down during the verses. There's good stuff going on there. And Chuck D's cool on this. I mean, he doesn't have the energy he used to, but, you know.
I mean, he's older.
Like,
I'm not expecting him to.
Chuck D's fine on this. I mean, this record is, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Ironically, I kind of like the Juicy J record.
Of course you do. I feel like I want to like the beat.
When the beat drops, I'm like, oh, okay. I'm not mad at it.
I was like, eh. Again, the production and then the drums were like, nah.
But you know what record the production works on is Most Definitely.
Absolutely not.
Oh.
This is the worst song on the album.
Come on.
This is cringy.
No.
I'm black. I'm white. Well, everybody's white. Everybody's black. Everybody's high. Fam.
Goes a little... A little Umi says at the end, but I like this beat just because I can actually like hear and get a coherent sense of what's going on in this beat, because it's the only thing on the album that is solely produced by outside producers. It's DJ Khalil and this guy Seasick, and I'm like, oh look, it doesn't sound cluttered, so I appreciate that. But yeah, I don't think this is not the most cringe inducing thing on the album.
This is total. I mean, aside from the skit.
Listen, Listen, there's still more to go. Yeah, the skit we're not even going to talk about, right?
No. No, you already talked about it.
I talked about the skit.
Mm-hmm. And I laughed at it. So that's all we need to talk about. That's all we need to discuss.
So.
And I got to get it been together.
That's 10,
my logic.
Track 10. The suicide prevention hotline number. 1-800-273-8255. Listen. Mm-hmm. In terms of the topic, like great talk, like, you know, I don't struggle. I've been lucky. I've never struggled with depression, but sure. I know people do. So like,
yeah,
you know, and it's crazy, right? When you're a rapper as popular as Logic is, there are going to be kids who are going to hear this and it's going to mean something to them.
Sure.
So on the one hand, I'm not trying to critique that part of the song, but I will critique the fact that like, he's like, let's get those cinematic uplifting strings. And honestly, like, man, listen, I know corny because I'm a corny guy. Like, I get it. But like his ad lib where he's like, who can relate? Woo-hoo! I'm like, yo, this is like a more restrained version of a subpar Macklemore Ryan Lewis single. This is just not a good song.
Then I gotta get it, but they gotta go.
Is that your reaction to everything?
That's my that's just my logic impression.
Can we talk about something real though for a sec? Because you posted on social media this weekend.
Yeah.
That you were feeling some depression.
Yeah, this weekend.
You want mm-hmm. to? Can you talk about that?
Sure. I think it was two things. One, it was. This was the first time that I actually put out music in 4 years. So, I mean, we can talk about Marcus Graham and Praise Break and Snooze Button 4, but those are, and I actually dealt with this after Marcus Graham too. Anytime I put out a body of work or I put out some music on a grand scale, I wrestle with depression for a couple of days. It's everything. It's the insecurities, and it's the insecurities of putting essentially something that you consider a piece of you out there to the general public for them to ingest, to critique in hopes that it would hit them the way that it hit you when you created it. Dealing with the insecurities of when you do see the impact that it has, because people's response to Sweeter has been phenomenal. And it's like not trying to wrestle with the idea of like, man, this really, like, you felt that way because of something that I did. And I said it on Walking Contradiction, comparing someone's highlight reel to your behind the scenes, where you're around yourself all the time. You know the things that you think, you know the things that you do that no one knows and that no one may ever know. And comparing that to moments that people may experience. And you're like, how did that happen through me? And just this whole myriad of, you know, I also realized that this weekend, like, my life is really heavy, is that people come to me and trust me with really, really heavy things, because the music that I put out there, the way that I present myself, the way that I present my relationship with God is very honest. It's very transparent. And I think it's very trustworthy, where I'm not trying to put on a front for anybody. So if I'm really, really high and in a really good mood, you'll know it. But if I'm not, I'll share that too, because I don't want to save face, because I don't want to sell anybody on something that isn't realistic. I want people to know the ups and downs of any relationship. So whether that be spiritual, whether that be romantic, whether that be in any regard, there's ups and downs in it. And it was a mixing pot, a melting pot of all of those things, and some questions that I kind of had for God that he wasn't trying to answer. And I was kind of upset about that. And I think you just kind of have to realize that this is just part of the process. I think why many people go down the route of suicide is that they feel like the moment that they're in is the end of the moment that they're in. And it's not. It's just a moment. And it's a moment that will pass. It has to pass. So whether that moment is for a couple of days, whether that moment is for 5 or 10 years, it's still a moment. If you allow it to, if you give it the power to engulf you, no matter how intense it gets, because I'm not desensitizing myself to how real those moments can get and how strong they can feel and seem and, you know, interact and impact you and how you perceive everything. But when you realize that those are just moments, you can talk about them and deal with them accordingly. Because when I got depressed, it was like, I've been here before, so I know what to do. I know who to call. I know how to process this. And I know that in a couple of days, I'll be fine. And I was, and I am, and I'm still feeling away, but I'm not nearly as bad as I was Saturday, Sunday, Friday. But the good thing about it is that once you realize that this is just part of the process, it's like in every movie, you expect Robin to get kidnapped, or you expect Olive Oil to get kidnapped, but because you know Popeye's going to save her, you continue watching the cartoon. So, you know, this was just part of that. Popeye can't be the hero without having something to save. So my relationship with God and the way that I posture myself in my life is because of, I know moments like these, and I'm familiar with moments like these. And I know there were times 10 years ago, 12 years ago, when I was suicidal, even 5 years ago when I wrote Walking Contradiction, where I was suicidal, where I didn't think that those things were going to end. I've matured past through those spaces. And that's, number one, that's how I know God is real. And number two, even if those things don't ever go away, because I don't think that they will, I know how to maneuver through those things. So, you know, much like you said, I appreciate Logic for bringing awareness to this and even anxiety, as he talked about later in the album. I appreciate those things. Those are great, because those emotions are very isolative. They can make you feel like nobody feels like you, and kind of, I don't want to call it humanizing it, but putting an identity on it and putting a face to it and locking hands with it and saying, this is something that I deal with, is powerful. But I think the switch is like, a lot of people say, this is who I am, and it's not who you are. It's something that you deal with, and your response to it is where your character is versus the of what actually what happens to you. Because life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you respond to it. But I'm ranting. I say all that to say I don't really like the song. It's another one of those, I like the melody, and then the beat, the drums come in, and I'm like, eh. And then I got to go, and then we go, I don't want to kill myself, and I feel myself, and I wish I could steal myself, and I'm... Mm-mm. No, thank you.
You want to talk about anxiety?
Yeah, I actually like this song.
Yeah, so there's a, as you would expect, there's a lot going on with the beat, but there's some, and it goes a little over the top, but it's probably one of the better ones on the album.
Yeah, I like this record.
I like this record. It's not bad.
Yeah, that's it.
It's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad at all. I rock with it.
All right, I think these last two songs are fascinating. Let's talk about Black Spider-Man.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
So, produced by 6 Logic and DJ Khalil. When I saw this video, I was kind of like, like the way that hip hop deals with artists who are just like upbeat and happy on a record.
Sure.
Is super interesting.
How so?
Well, I think you have someone like Chance, mm-hmm. who not all the time, but oftentimes, sometimes on his music, he can just come across as what you might describe as joyful.
Yep.
And I think some people respond positively to that, and some people respond, they kind of look at that and go, this doesn't feel right. I don't get that with Chance, but the way you talked about like the feel lacking for you with Logic's music is like, Black Spider-Man doesn't connect with me at all, like musically. It's supposed to be kind of like this, like a beat, like hits you in the feels, but in no way does this or any of his music like hit me in that way that I love it when music hits me.
Yeah.
And yeah. I don't know how to parse that. Like, I can't tell. Is it just like Logic doesn't do it for me? Is it like this just isn't the right like execution? But because some people had a response to the song where they're like, oh, this video is amazing and this is all beat. And they're just like, they're responding in this way. But like to reference Kendrick again, because, you know, it's 2017. So we're going to talk about Kendrick for the next like 10 weeks, apparently. like there are records on Damn that I use the word visceral. I'll say it again. Like cause like a visceral feeling with me. And
yeah.
This album has the opposite of, like, there is nothing remotely resembling a visceral feeling coming out of Logic's music. And I'm not saying that you always have to get there. That's not what hip hop or music in general has to be. But I feel like Black Spider-Man is trying to get somewhere, but it just falls flat to me. I don't know. What did you think?
I think the issue with Logic's lyrical content.
We haven't really talked about it. We talked about his flow. We haven't really talked about his lyrics.
He says things, but he does not delve into things.
So sort of like he goes skin deep, but that's it.
100%.
Okay.
So he says, yeah, I'm black and I'm white and I had trouble with it. Everybody got to get everybody again. I got to go to it. And I got to like, that's what happens. But he doesn't really delve into the types of troubles other than I got made fun of in school because black kids said I was too white and white kids said I was too black. And I got to go in and I got to get it in. I got to like, that's, and I think for maybe people like us, we hear records like Beanie Siegel, What's Your Life Like? We hear records like Jay-Z, You Must Love Me. We hear records like, even more recent, let me think of a Kendrick record that really delves, Mortal Man or Good Kid or even Drake. You know, like these are all Drake's sons, Kanye's 808s and him really delving into, you know, his depression and his mother passing. And you feel those records because what those artists do is they take an idea and they explore it and they are walking you through the process of exploring that moment. What Logic does is he tells you that he sees something but he doesn't go towards the fire. Oh, there's fire over there, but it's not. Well, as I get closer, the smoke gets heavier and I can't see and I can't breathe. And it feels like this. And the closer I get, but it's still attracting me. So I keep walking towards it. And then I run back a little bit because I really can't breathe. But then I keep going. And when I get there, I see this and I see this and it makes me feel like this. And so my response is this. He doesn't do that at all. And because we were exposed to artists and songs that did that, when we hear stuff like this, we're like, eh. Mm. And I got to get it and I got to go, but then I got to get it. And it's like, you know, we talk about Kendrick, but even Cole, like there was a discussion in a chat room with a bunch of prominent Christian rappers. And the discussion was, who's the better storyteller, Nas or Lupe? And off top, Doc, who's better storyteller between those two to you?
Nas.
Without question. You didn't even think about it, right?
Why would I?
Right. And so
I'm sorry. Blaze of 50. Undying Love. I could stick just songs exactly. From I Am.
Undying Love scared me the first time I heard it. It was so chilling and haunting the way that he told that story. You saw it. Even Take It Back to One Love. You felt like you were reading a prison letter. Nas is an incredible storyteller. And so, man, I forgot the point I was trying to make with those two because I got caught up in like Nas's storytelling. But man, I forgot the point I was going to make. Sorry. Oh, that sucks. People are going to yell at me and be mad, but that's fine. Whatever. But yeah, Logic doesn't hit those places that Nas does. I mean, or even Lupe does, because Lupe's good storytelling is great. The Die, and then he gets the girl. Little Weapon.
Yeah, I forgot Little Weapon.
Oh, what's the song that's inspired Little Weapon? That was on it was on a Rhyming Ape. And Little Tommy got a gun he got from
his
son.
Yeah,
got
yeah, I forgot about
that's
that.
That's a great story. Great stories. We just come from a different era. I just need you to, you
it's
know.
It's just different.
It's just different. New rules. That's who we forgot to talk about. And I meant to say this earlier. So Jay-Z's 1000% coming out with a new album, right?
You got the plug telling you what's going on?
I've heard things. I've seen things on social media that he's 100% in album mode and that the album is coming sooner than we think. I was thinking end of the year. Well, probably I wouldn't be surprised if we got it at the end of the summer.
You know who else is in album mode?
Who's that?
Your man Kanye West. He's up in Wyoming.
Hey, Wyoming is beautiful.
Hey, I think he's just got, I think, I'm guessing for him sometimes, he literally has to get away.
He right? looks like it. His face says, I need to get away all the time. And I mean, that's not even a diss. I'm just saying, like, he just looks depressed and overwhelmed all the time. I don't know if that's just the camera. Those are just the shots that people choose to post online of candid to him.
Yeah.
I mean, he deleted his Twitter and his Instagram. Ooh.
Scary
but,
eyes.
But, man, I can't really. But you were telling me off air about Kanye was working on some other stuff a while ago, right?
I mean, when the rumors were, you know, last year talking about TurboGrafx-16, like he's been working on music. There's been stuff like in the works, been working with people all last year. So it's not like I think I don't know this for sure, but I you know, the reports of him going to Wyoming, it's not like he's going to go there and craft an album entirely in that process. That's not really how it works at all.
Right.
Like, he's like, I'm going here to get a different mind frame. Like, yeah. I'm going to listen to these songs in a totally different setting. I'm going to maybe bring some other people in, get their take, you know, Rick Rubin it up, right? Okay, take this out, put this yep. in, like, do this whole process.
Yep. 100%.
Because we know, like, a lot of Kanye songs have, like, so many alternate versions and everything else. So
yep.
it's going to be...
They're often old. People will come up with... I mean, even with my album, like, some of these records are 3 and 4 years old. Some of these records were crafted right after Kairos.
Mm.
But they've just managed to not feel dated. And we've just added things and taken things away. And, I mean, one of the records is a concept that I did on Catch Up 2. And that was in 2000 and... It was top of 2013. So, yeah, I'm sure he went to Wyoming with a bunch of roughs, a bunch of unfinished songs. And he's sort of, you know, he's up there with Terrius, your boy Terrius, hashing them out.
Let's talk about the last song on this album.
Go right ahead.
I still can't pronounce it right. Africarian? Wait. Africarian? I don't even know.
I'm just African. Yeah, maybe it's Africarian.
I don't know.
Africarian. Yeah. Okay.
Featuring Neil deGrasse Tyson,
mm-hmm.
and J. Cole.
Mm-hmm.
So
if you ever wanted me to not listen to a song, get Neil deGrasse Tyson and J. Cole on it.
So production wise, this isn't bad.
Yeah.
I actually kind of like the synths feel like almost like old video game synths, if that makes sense. I like that. I like the up-tempo feel.
Like Coco Brothers, Super Brothers, like that?
Here was the craziest thing about this song to me. It's not Neil deGrasse Tyson as a feature or anything like that. Like, J. Cole sounds fantastic after, no offense, like, he's a nice alternate, like, to listen to Logic. No offense. Like, I was like, wow. Like, okay, Cole, thank you. I really like J. Cole's part. Even just like, because after listening to, as you put it, the butter, butter, butters, like even J. Cole, you know, using intonations, his flow and his voice in certain ways, even on this little outro, I'm like, yeah, that's what I want. And listen, I'm somebody who has a soft spot for rappers who can rap really fast, right?
Do you?
Oh, listen.
Who?
Twista.
Okay.
Old Bone, like that sort of, that sort of melodic rapping fast. Like, yeah, we all used to love it. Like, you know.
Okay, sure.
But it can get taken to an extreme. And so even Twista like would sort of like speed up and slow down.
Yeah.
You know what it is? It's like if you're a basketball player and all you can do is one speed, even if it's really fast, at some point that becomes a limitation.
Right.
Like when you're really dope, you can switch speeds, speed up, slow down, go in, go out. You can get more done.
Yeah.
I think the same applies to rapping. If you rap at the same speed, whether slow or fast the entire time, it gets boring.
Sure.
And so, sure. Yeah. In a weird way, like, so apparently this is like Logic's next album will be his last album, he says.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, like really you're retiring? Like that seems kind of weird. But to me, it's kind of almost in a weird sense, unfortunate. Like he has been working with his same crew of people for so long. I feel like he has more potential in him. Like, I would like to hear him work with different producers and get like in a different like mind state. I'd like to see what he can do.
You probably don't want to cut that check.
He's been in this like, and you know, he has like, they've gotten like, they have expanded what they can, like him and Six and his crew, they've expanded like what they're capable of production and more instrumentation and that typical sort of rise and, oh, now I can do this. And then you have to learn, oh, but I don't always need to use it. Like, eventually you could see him getting there, but it's like, well, what would happen if he just worked with like a whole different group of people? What would that sound like? And in a weird way, like that's the typical major label move. Like, let's get you with this hot producer and this hot producer. Right. And he avoids that and he gets to craft. This is a coherent, like for whatever faults it has, it's a fairly coherent sounding album. Like this sounds like a project.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And there's something to be said for that, but I don't know. I'd like to hear him do something different, but.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're just not in on.
I'm not in on Logic.
Okay.
Because at this point, this is like your fourth album. It's my fourth album.
It's my fourth album.
If you don't have it figured out by now, I don't have time for you to wait.
Mm.
I'll say this though. Another artist who we had this same critique of and same desire of, hey, get out of your comfort zone and work with other artists and work with other producers, has been really quiet lately since transitioning from a major label to being independent again.
Would this be Big Crit?
So quiet that I am actually dying to hear new music from him.
This would be Mr. Critical.
This would be Mr. Critical. So, you know, sometimes, I mean,
that Catalectica album was really underrated, wasn't it?
Which one? Catalactica.
Yeah,
that was cool. It came out at the wrong time. I think it came out in the summer.
No, it came out in November 2014.
Oh, that's even worse. that's a spring fall album.
Yeah.
That's a 60 degree day album. Not a super cold album and it's not a hot album.
But even that, is that his last album?
From Def Jam, yeah. Because remember, I think the problem was that Crit was putting out these, I don't want to call them fire mixtapes, but there were mixtapes that would have super dope songs. What was that song that he put out on like the last mixtape he did? And it was like, I'm trying to turn this into something. Turn this into something. You remember that?
Yeah.
That record is stupid.
Honestly, like his first two mixtapes, Crit Was Here and Return of Forever.
Return of Forever is on streaming.
Is it really?
Yes, it is. I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, man. Because
there are 29 songs on this album?
No, there's only 21.
Bruh, I'm looking on Tidal right now. Hold 29 on. Songs on Return of Forever.
Track 21 should be the country-ish remix. What comes after that?
Fab in the Day theme, Me and My Old School, 1986, Country Rap Tunes.
No, that's another project.
Temptation. So Return of Forever has two mixtapes in one. I'm talking about Temptation. Hold on. Yes.
That's off of Forever in a Day.
Forever in a Day. Yeah, Forever in a Day. Yep. Yeah, I need new Big Crit music like yesterday.
Yeah, but see, now I just want to listen to R4 theme song.
What do you mean this? Alright, I'm gonna let this play for a second because we just got done talking about Logic for 30 minutes. Okay, I'm done. Bruh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Crit's one of those artists. He did not benefit. He was like the tail end of the blog era. If he would have came out now as prominent and prevalent as DIY is, he would flourish right now.
The only thing is, like, would he be able to get enough numbers if no one's going to clear those samples?
Shoot, you get on...
I know.
There's a way to do it.
I'm just saying.
No, you're right. You're not wrong.
But right. I mean, he basically signed to a major label at like just the worst possible time.
Yes, he did.
Oh man, that first album, Just Touchdown, Hometown Hero, Children of the World.
Yeah, Crit Was Here. Crit Was Here is one of those tapes that completely changed everything. Mm. That's one of the last tapes. And that's why I was asking, like, these new artists nowadays, your Verts and your Playboi Cartis and all this stuff, like, do they have definitive projects that, you know, if you want to hear Big Crit, go listen to Crit Was Here. If you want to hear Joe Budden, go hear Moon Music 2 or Moon Music 3. If you want to hear, you know, Lil Wayne, go listen to Dedication 2. If you want to hear Lupe, you know, First and 15th, you know, Revenge of the Nerds, but et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I could go on for days. Like, do these new artists have that? Or is it just like the song or the SoundCloud, because they've got projects, but nobody really talks about those, to me at least.
I think it's just about the individual songs.
It's the songs.
I do. Yeah. Just individual songs. That's it. See, now I just want to listen to Crit. Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's that time, too. Like,
yes, it is.
Springtime is Crit time.
Springtime is Crit time. 1,000%.
Because, yeah, Return of Forever. I remember that. Springtime, Forever and a Day. That was a little before spring, but yeah. Here's how big of a Big Crit fan I was in 2012. This was released on my honeymoon.
I remember that.
And I downloaded it I tethered my laptop to my cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
Overlooking the Atlantic Ocean I was on St. Thomas. And I'm sitting there on 3G downloading Forever and a Day.
Yeah. I remember sending you the link to the mixtape.
Right.
And you walking me through the process of you doing, you're like, man, I'm on this honeymoon. And I think the dope part is that your wife was like, all right.
Yeah. She was like, that's cool. Cause she likes Crit.
It's crazy. That's how you know you married a good one.
Same. Anything else we want to say about Logic?
No, I think I've said plenty.
Overall, we're just not big fans. I don't know what to say about that, but you know what? I would love to hear from our fans, from our listeners on Clock Radio Speakers, because we have spent the last hour or so describing how Logic doesn't work for us, not trying to rag on them, but like really trying to get to the bottom of it. Cause it's kind of interesting, right? Cause you said it yourself, like You know, dude has good topics, good ear for melodies, but there's just ways in which it doesn't connect for us. But I would love to hear from people who it does connect with and let us know why you think that's the case. Hit us up at CRS Podcast. Use the hashtag Clock Radio Speakers. Anything else you want to talk about this week?
Meek put out an EP.
Yeah. Anything notable matter? On it?
Nah. We should have got Dream Chasers 4.5. He put out a video for Liddy like 6 months later. Nah.
He's going on tour with Gotti.
Going on tour with Gotti. He's going to Boston, New York. You gonna check it out?
No.
Okay. Jay, I think we talked about this, and the reason why I said Jay is coming out with another album is because Jay is he signed up for like 6 festivals. Mm-hmm. So
I mean, maybe, you know, he's like, man, she's having twins.
Exactly. Maybe this is the, let me hurry up and either let me get out the house because it's going to be crazy in there. Or this is like the, let me get my last little bit of fun in because the next few years of my life are going to be shut down.
He's going to be changing diapers.
Yeah. But I want to hear Jay rap about changing diapers and not about, you know, I mean, look at, he had the Miley Cyrus reference in Magna Carta. And now people are upset that Miley essentially, quote unquote, culture vultured hip hop. I mean, she kind of did.
Eh.
But man, she did. She pulled a Bieber move to a greater degree.
A Bieber move?
Yeah. Because when Bieber came out with, man, what was that album that I loved of his? I don't know. 2 albums ago, he was like super hip hopped out. Then after about the 4th or 5th time he got arrested, he was like, I ain't messing with none of you hip hoppers, but his music still has an urban touch to it.
Urban touch.
She just flat out came out and was like, I'm not really doing this anymore. I'm not going to twerk and be half naked and do all the hip hop stuff. So it's like, I don't want to hear, I'm planking on a million, damn Daniel. I don't want to hear those references from Jay and on this new album. I just want you to rap. I think it's a really good time for Jay to come out with an album. I think the climate is good to hear from Jay-Z. So I'm actually looking forward to it. What about you?
Yeah. I mean, look, I'll check for it because it's Jay, like I always will. But I don't know. He's got he kind of has to show me something.
Hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see what he's got. Let's see if he can. He can't help but try to like make a reference to try to make him sound like something that's current. He just can't help it.
Sure.
It's like, nah, Jay, like rap about stuff that nobody will care if it's 2017 or not. How about that?
Sure.
Try that. All right.
All right. Yeah, I think we're good.
I think we're good. Thank you everybody for listening. As always, hit us up on Twitter. Hit the show up on Twitter. We appreciate everybody who has rated and reviewed in iTunes and subscribed to the show. And yeah. Armand, you got anything to plug?
Nah, just Sweeter available everywhere. You consume music. Check it out.
All right.